This is a moment we can do what we haven't been able to do enough of through this whole pandemic. Get the nation to come together.
Armoring up against Omicron. It's December 3rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, preparing for the next pandemic at the World Health Organization. New travel bans and quarantines in Australia. A record United Nations humanitarian appeal. China faces accusations of regional destabilization. Abortion providers face further limits in the United States. An application to make Black history more accessible. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden is unveiling a winter plan to combat the coronavirus and its new Omicron variant with enhanced availability of shots and vaccines, but without major new restrictions. The president is also asking private insurers to cover the cost of at-home COVID-19 tests, and he's encouraging all adults to get boosters, creating family vaccination clinics so that all eligible children can also easily get vaccinated. The administration is also tightening testing requirements for people entering the U.S., regardless of their vaccination status. He announced all of his plans on Thursday at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland.
I know COVID-19 has been very divisive in this country. It's become a political issue, which is a sad, sad commentary. It shouldn't be, but it has been. Now, as we move into the winter and face the challenges of this new variant, this is a moment we can put the divisives behind us, I hope. This is a moment we can do what we haven't been able to do enough of through this whole pandemic. Get the nation to come together, unite the nation in a common purpose.
As some other nations close their borders or reimpose lockdowns, Biden is not moving to impose additional restrictions beyond recommending that Americans wear masks indoors in public settings. Amid growing concerns over the new Omicron COVID-19 variant, the Biden administration is also supporting efforts by the World Health Organization to establish a new international agreement on future pandemic preparedness and response, the so-called Pandemic Treaty. VOA's Patsy Wiedekaswara reports.
At least 55 countries have implemented travel restrictions aimed at delaying the outbreak of the Omicron COVID-19 variant. As countries scramble to ramp up vaccinations, the Biden administration is supporting efforts by the World Health Organization to establish a new international agreement on future pandemic preparedness and response, said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki to VOA on board Air Force One Tuesday.
The United States is committed to working with member states to take forward the recent recommendations of the Working Group on Preparedness and Response. That includes developing a new WHO convention agreement or other international instrument and making agreements to improve the effectiveness and agility of international health regulations.
The U.S. had initially opposed the inclusion of language that would have made the so-called pandemic treaty, proposed in March by about 24 world leaders, legally binding. The treaty is expected to be ready in May 2024. Krishna Udayakumar is the founding director of the Duke Global Health Innovation Center at Duke University.
Anything that comes out of this process is very unlikely to make any change to our current environment and the current pandemic response. We're looking at probably a 2 to 3 year process to get to a real treaty that may or may not actually then go into effect.
Meanwhile, humanitarian organizations say that a pandemic treaty should include a waiver of patents on vaccines, the so-called TRIPS waiver at the World Trade Organization.
Vaccinate the world! Free the vaccine!
After initially opposing the waiver, the U.S. announced its support of it in April, leaving the U.K., Switzerland, and the European Union as holdouts. But many are skeptical that the Biden administration is putting any real diplomatic weight on the issue. Yuan Chong-Hu is senior legal and policy advisor for Doctors Without Borders Access Campaign.
We do observe the lacking of more proactive leadership from U.S. Since it's changed the position.
According to research by Duke University, almost 2 years into the pandemic, the world continues to struggle to enact an effective and equitable response. Commitments and pledges remain largely unfulfilled, including the goal of achieving 40% vaccination coverage in every country by the end of 2021 and 70% coverage by mid-2022. Patsy Wiedekaswara, VOA News.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream, at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Shuttered Hong Kong paper wins Press Freedom Award. Rights group says Myanmar forces purposely killed protesters. North Korea's Kim warns of very giant struggle next year to boost economy. Provincial governor in Cambodia knocked for plan to combat nonsense news. Despite variants, Singapore's COVID-19 strategy on track. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. South Korea has broken its daily record for coronavirus infections for a second straight day, with more than 5,200 new cases. Seoul confirmed its first five Omicron cases Wednesday night, linked to arrivals from Nigeria, prompting the government to tighten its border controls. The country will require all passengers arriving from abroad over the next 2 weeks to quarantine for at least 10 days, regardless of their nationality or vaccination status. Australia has brought in travel bans and new quarantine orders because of concerns about the new Omicron variant. Two cases have been discovered in travelers arriving in Australia. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Urgent testing is underway to determine whether passengers infected with COVID-19 who've arrived in Sydney from southern Africa are carrying the Omicron variant. The travellers have been taken to so-called special health accommodation, where they'll spend 14 days in quarantine. The World Health Organization has declared Omicron a variant of concern as researchers work to establish whether it's more infectious than other strains. Australia has moved quickly to impose strict border controls. Non-citizens from nine southern African countries are banned. They are South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Lesotho, Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, the Seychelles, Malawi and Mozambique. Australian citizens and their families who've spent time in those countries during the past 2 weeks must go into isolation on their return home. Passengers arriving from all other countries would be required to isolate for 72 hours on arrival into the states of New South Wales and Victoria, which have seen Australia's worst COVID-19 outbreaks this year. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says a cautious approach is needed.
The Australian government will be implementing additional precautionary border security measures in order to protect Australians whilst more is learnt about the nature and impact of the Omicron variant of concern. There are currently no known cases of the Omicron variant in Australia.
Health authorities in New South Wales have said that the new variant isn't well understood and warned that it may be already in Australia. The Omicron variant has been detected in Belgium, Germany, Hong Kong, Israel, Italy, and the United Kingdom. It's less than a month since New South Wales and Victoria, Australia's most populous states, removed all quarantine requirements for fully vaccinated international arrivals. Australia has recorded 206,000 COVID-19 cases and almost 2,000 deaths since the pandemic began. Currently, 536 patients need hospital care, according to the health department. More than 85% of the eligible Australian population is fully vaccinated. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
More than 30 countries have now reported cases, including India, China, Japan, and South Korea. China is accelerating efforts to develop vaccines against the COVID-19 Omicron variant. Jun Chengwei leads the working group for vaccine development under State Council Joint Prevention and Control Mechanism against COVID-19.
It is too soon to tell whether the existing vaccines could become ineffective or whether the new variant is capable of immune evasion. Based on our initial understanding, we believe the vaccines are still effective. even if it will not be as effective in preventing infection when the variant does have immune evasion capability. We can surely make a preliminary judgment that the vaccines will remain effective in preventing severe illness and death.
Meantime, investors are rattled by the prospect that Omicron could hurt the global economic recovery. In an interview with Reuters, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said she hoped the pandemic would not completely stifle economic activity, adding that the U.S. stimulus at the start of the pandemic had helped fuel a very strong recovery. She says Washington is re-examining its tariffs on Chinese goods to ease inflation pressure.
You know, it's not a game changer, but I think the tariffs do contribute to higher prices in the United States. And the Trump tariffs that were put in place, some of them create problems without having any real strategic justification. Our U.S. Trade Representative, Catherine Tai, has been working with the Chinese, reviewing the phase one trade agreement, and she's opened up a process in which firms can apply. It's called our domestic tariff exclusion process in cases where the cost to Americans exceed any benefits of the tariffs. This is a process by which tariffs can be lowered, and I think that could be helpful.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, helping the globe's most vulnerable through turbulent times. Happening now in Asia, the U.S.-based Women's Tennis Association has announced it is suspending its tournaments in mainland China and Hong Kong. Chief Executive Steve Simon said he had not received enough assurances that Chinese tennis star Peng Shui was free and not subject to censorship. Since she accused a former top Chinese official of sexual assault, she has made virtually no public appearances. We're so happy you're with us here on VOA Asia. The United Nations is appealing for a record $41 billion to help 183 million of the world's most vulnerable people suffering from multiple crises, including poverty, hunger, conflict, and the impact of COVID-19. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva on the launch of the UN's Global Humanitarian Plan for 2022.
UN officials report an estimated 274 million people worldwide will require emergency aid and protection next year. This is a 17% increase from 2021. UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Martin Griffiths cites long-lasting conflicts, political instability, failing economies, climate crisis, and the COVID-19 pandemic as the main drivers of need.
There are 45 million people at risk of famine worldwide. 1% of humanity is displaced. And it will be no surprise to any of us that women and girls continue to suffer the most, just as civilians continue to suffer the most in war.
Griffiths says humanitarian aid can limit the worst consequences of existing and emerging crises. For example, he says UN aid brought back 500,000 people from the brink of famine in South Sudan this year. He says aid agencies delivered health care for 10 million people in Yemen and helped vaccinate millions of others against killer diseases in Myanmar. While aid does save lives, he notes it is no solution. He says humanitarian aid does not replace development assistance.
And we see in many countries, Afghanistan is just one most recent example, humanitarian assistance is not a remedy for the people of Afghanistan. It isn't a way to stabilize societies. One of the tragedies of the situation in Ethiopia that we see now as a result of that conflict is the erosion of the development gains of the last 40 years.
Griffiths considers the crisis in Ethiopia to be the most alarming in terms of immediate emergency needs. He notes 9 million people in northern Ethiopia's Amhara, Afar, and Tigray regions are seriously short of food. Of those, he says 5 million people in Tigray are suffering from acute hunger, with 400,000 on the verge of famine. He says he's very worried about the rebel military advance on the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa, warning it will have a seismic effect on the rest of the country, engulfing the entire region. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Footage released by the Russian Ministry of Defense Thursday shows Russia has deployed a coastal missile defense system to the remote Matawa Island, which is disputed territory with nearby Japan. The personnel began to carry out planned combat training activities. Japan has a competing territorial claim over the Russian-held South Kuril Islands. Tokyo calls them the Northern Territories. The dispute dates back to the end of World War II when Soviet troops seized the islands from Japan. Head on over to VOA Asia Facebook for more information on this story and many more.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. Thousands of demonstrators continue to protest in Bangladesh, demanding that the government allow ailing former Prime Minister Khalida Zia to fly abroad for medical treatment. Bangladeshi doctors say they fear for her life if she is not permitted to leave the country for care. She has cirrhosis of the liver. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is in South Korea meeting with his counterparts. He says China's pursuit of hypersonic weapons, quote, increases tensions in the region, and vowed to maintain capability to deter the potential threats posed by China.
Where we have concerns about the military capabilities that the PRC continues to pursue. And the pursuit of those capabilities increases tensions in the region. And we know that China conducted a test of a hypersonic weapon on the 27th of July. It just underscores why we consider the PRC to be our pacing challenge.
This comes just as U.S. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth told a Washington think tank that the Army wants to expand its access and basing arrangements in Southeast Asia. The Southeast Asian nation of Laos is opening a $5.9 billion Chinese-built railway that links its capital city to China. It's one of hundreds of projects under Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative to expand trade and diplomatic ties across the region. But Laos has sunk nearly two-thirds of its annual economic output into debt, much of it to Beijing. Australian National University professor Greg Raymond voiced concern.
For a big country that has a lot of exports is something which is viable, but for Laos, it's problematic because it means that they get into trouble with debt servicing.
Railways built with Belt and Road Initiative financing, including in Kenya and Ethiopia, have struggled to repay Chinese loans. Making headlines across Asia. Cambodia's long-serving Prime Minister Hun Sen has endorsed his eldest son to succeed him as the nation's leader. 44-year-old Hun Manet is a West Point graduate and deputy commander-in-chief of the Royal Cambodian Armed Forces. Hun Sen, who has held power for 36 years, has often mentioned Hun Manet as his potential successor after 2028. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia. Women across Asia have varying access to abortion services. While abortions are legal in China and India, they are not permitted for any reason in Laos and the Philippines. After nearly 50 years of legal status in the United States, the Supreme Court is now hearing arguments on a state law that would restrict abortion. VOA's Carolyn Prasuti reports the case could open the door to even further limits on abortion access across the U.S.
A challenge to abortion rights in America, with loud outdoor protests that could be heard inside the court. The Supreme Court Wednesday considered a Mississippi state law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The burning question now, will justices overturn the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that found a constitutional right to abortion? Kathy Renna was at the protest.
This is the greatest challenge to Roe versus Wade in decades.
The Mississippi law reduces the time frame when women can choose abortion. The Centers for Disease Control shows most all abortions, 92%, take place in the first 13 weeks of pregnancy. That's before the Mississippi ban would apply. Krista Corbello and Savannah Ackerman want the court to restrict abortions.
I think abortion is kind of barbaric. It's an old practice. Abortion has been failing women and families for over 50 years.
I mean, any life saved is, you know, monumental, I think. Also, we're looking right at now putting the ban right about where every other country in the world does it.
A comment echoed by some in Congress. Republican Senator Steve Daines spoke ahead of Wednesday's court action.
We have the opportunity to end an extreme judicially imposed abortion regime that's aligned with nations such as China and North Korea. The United States is just one of seven nations that allows late-term abortions.
On the other side, those who feel women have the right to end pregnancies without government interference, like Democratic Representative Lois Frankel and protester Allison Turcos.
It's about politicians controlling women's bodies. It's about politicians taking away the personal decision of people to access the health care that they need.
I've never had an abortion myself, but there is a chance that I might need one day. And this is just about abortion justice and liberating abortion.
President Joe Biden backs the current law.
I support Roe v. Wade. I think it's a rational position to take.
Abortion opponents are counting on the Supreme Court's 6-3 conservative majority to deliver them a long-sought victory. During the oral arguments, Justice Sonia Sotomayor warned of damage to the court if it is seen as bending to political pressure.
If people actually believe that it's all political, how will we survive?
Upholding the Mississippi law would open the door to other states passing similarly restrictive laws. Chief Justice John Roberts.
Viability, it seems to me, doesn't have anything to do with choice. But if it really is an issue about choice, why is 15 weeks not enough time?
The Supreme Court will announce its decision next year. Carolyn Prasuti, VOA News.
To make Black history more accessible, an Oakland, California man has designed his own augmented reality application. Matt Dibble has our story.
This mural honors two leaders of the Black Panther Party, the revolutionary group founded here in Oakland, California, over a half century ago. The painting by Timothy B. makes a strong statement. But point a smartphone at the wall and it literally speaks.
The only next thing to do is get organized. Get organized.
Damian McDuffie brought the mural to life using AR, augmented reality technology.
What I've built is Black Terminus AR. It's an augmented reality platform for Black art and the Black cultural archive.
McDuffie is a writer and historian who says he wants to make history more accessible. He used downtime during the pandemic to teach himself AR and create a free app for others to use.
The camera is using computer vision. They see a target, and then I and my tech tells the target what to do. So when you see this image, play this video.
McDuffie has activated sites important to Black Panther history around Oakland, and that's just the beginning. He is helping others launch their own AR projects, like this one, with students in Tanzania. His website has tools that make it possible for anyone to make their own AR artwork, he says.
My dream is to have these, you know, archival photos of people in different neighborhoods, like all over. You might be able to open up a photo of your grandparent and kind of showcase what they were doing.
Matt Dibble for VOA News, Oakland, California.
been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy your day.